This is the individual oral for English language and literature. And so today I'll be looking at examining the idea of cultures and societal context as a way of shaping values of individuals within these societies. And so I'll be looking at the idea of love in a materialist or consumerist society and how two artists have chosen to respond through their work and through their stylistic choices and the way they represent the ideas in their work and how that reflects their views. So the two pieces I'll be looking at today will are a poem by Carol Ann Duffy entitled Mrs. Faust, which was released as part of a poetry anthology entitled The Woman's Life in 1999, and a work called Untitled, or referred to as Money Can Buy You Love by Barbara Kruger that was released in the 1980s. And so both of these, from the quick appraisal of these words, both of these artists seem to do agree that in a consumerist society that there is a conflict between love and happiness, if you will, and material gain, and that prioritizing material gain is not a guarantee of success or happiness. And so it's interesting to see how both of these artists tackle this in different ways. For instance, Duffy tackles this by pushing the reader to such an extreme situation of extreme wealth to demonstrate that even with all the wealth in the world, happiness is not attained. Barbara Kruger imitates and subverts what she is fighting against, or in this case, advertising, by creating art in the likeness of a magazine or advertisement that pushes her message as opposed to what she's going against. So if we start with Untitled, we can see that it's very simple, and the use of color, or rather lack thereof, is a black and white image. And so Kruger is known for reappropriating images from magazines in the past. And so it's important to remember this was made in the 80s, yet this photo it appears to be old and from the 50s. And so we can see an interesting, a big part of Kruger and the way that she shows her viewpoints is the way that she represents the arguments shown in this piece. So we can see that the money can buy you love at first seems to be confusing because the assumption on the viewer's part is that it's money can't buy you love. This is the name of a song, a common adage. However, and seeing this in the text may lead us to believe initially that Kruger supports this belief. However, I would argue that, in fact, she doesn't, as the way she's chosen to represent it. And so I'll go into how she does that now. So the image she's chosen is of a young girl and who is young and inexperienced and naive in the ways of love. And she is, and the way the text is positioned, it appears to be her idea and her thoughts that are saying, although you could also argue that she is teasing the idea that money can buy you love, that she is teasing the money that money can buy you love, or that she is proudly holding on to that idea and mocking those who disagree with her. And so her youth suggests an inexperience, and her immature mockingness seems to tarnish this argument that money can buy you love. And it's also important to go back to the stylistic choices here. I've been very simplistic and large, bold text, as it's clearly in the likeness of an advertisement that would be found in a magazine or in a public place. And in fact, that is the way Kruger's work is usually placed. And it is subversive, like Kruger's work, as it's approached as an advertisement, but quickly the viewer realizes this is in fact not an advertisement. This creates this association. And an interesting thing, though, is that the girl doesn't seem to be, it's not as if she's teasing the viewer. It could be right that, in fact, she is teasing the idea that money, the people, she's possibly teasing the people that say money can buy you love. Or she's teasing the ideas rather than the viewer, and it doesn't seem to be directed at the viewer, and it's meant to challenge the viewer. The fact that she is young could also be inferred to be a representation of a new generation that has been duped or taken into this concept of consumerism and associating material gain with success, happiness, and love, and how love is just another, and they believe that love is just another stepping stone in the material accumulation and gain. And now, so we've talked about, now we're going to also look at the way Duffy views this issue. And so Duffy's also quite critical of the idea that extreme wealth or just making it in the world is a way to achieve happiness, as this prevalent theme throughout the poem, Mrs. Faust, which details the life of a dramatic monologue from the perspective of a woman who's married to a very wealthy man and who benefits from his riches. However, they live in a loveless marriage, and something that's made very clear throughout the poem is this sense of unsatisfaction. Even in this extreme environment with all this wealth, she still is not satisfied, as mere materialism and wealth isn't enough to make her happy. And we can see this in this extract of, this is quite a long poem, so this is the first 36 lines. However, it does go on for a couple more pages. And so we can see this dissatisfaction very clearly when she's resigned to it. She loves the lifestyle, not the life. And when you can also say at some point, Mr. Faust is said to go to whores, but she feels not jealousy, but a chronic irritation. And this kind of it's rather irritation rather than sadness or anger. And she doesn't feel an urge to break out of this situation because she's been complacent by the material wealth that has been provided to her. So she's not satisfied. She seeks exotic and ineffective treatments like colonic irrigation to fix her problems. And later on in the poem, she travels through Asia to reach enlightenment, other spiritual healing, many ways of healing that in the end don't seem to change her at all. And so we can also see another part of this is that the Fausts in their personal life don't seem to have much to do with each other. And this is shown through listing as their marriage and engagement is breezed through very quickly at the start. And that they shacked up, split up, made up, hitched up. And then their two tiled bathrobes, hers, his, they have no children, and this implies that their marriage is loveless, and they don't appear to detail any sexual relation between the two, and the only sexual relations detailed in this are the ones between Mr. Faust and his pleasure, the way he pleasures himself, where he meets panthers or feasts. And so that's also a very important part about this, is that we can see that Faust would boast at dinner parties, implying that the Fausts would appear in public together with Mr. Faust, showing off his wife in a way as a companion to him and a list of his achievements. As you would boast about other achievements, and then after this public appearance together, they would then go their separate ways, and he would take his lust to Soho in a cab. And so this is in this poem, you can see that the man is represented as the gainer, the provider, and he must provide and accumulate and gain status, and that is his role. And Mr. Faust appears to be satisfied with this. So we can see that maybe, however, we see the negative effects on Mrs. Faust and how she's not satisfied, and how the woman is shown as dependent and strongly relying on this man. However, the very key part of this poem is the Christian imagery, or the religious imagery, to the fable of Faust, which is the story of a man selling his soul to the devil. However, the twist here is that it's from the perspective of his wife, who shares the gains of his ill-gotten gains. And so this is interesting because in the societal context of this poem, it relies on and uses the Christian context give the reader this preconception of the amorality of the Fausts and how their actions are not moral or not right or unnatural. And in fact, Faust himself does meet with the devil in this poem, and he gets, in fact, taken to hell. But there's a twist in the end where he had no soul to sell. And in fact, the humor in this poem is quite common throughout. So in the end, Duffy does agree that there is a problem with love and material gain being a goal in society, being a goal encouraged in society. As we can see through the poem that it is presented as a goal that is encouraged because he goes to dinner parties with his wife or gains higher ranks of social standing through listing, as we can see later where he becomes, he increasingly rises through the ranks of government and companies. So we can see that the way Duffy represents this issue, and therefore the way that she shows it, is through bringing this issue into a context or situation so fantastical and extreme and inaccessible by the average person that it's obvious to us, the viewer, that there's something wrong with this, and that even in the so-called perfect world where one has it all, it still is not enough to satisfy that human need for love and meaningful connection, which the Fausts are clearly demonstrated to not have. And so then we can go back to Kruger's take on this issue, and we can see that there's a bit of a similarity. However, Kruger seems to be more aimed, they're both aimed at own people, as in the Faust does not seem to be, the audience of this poem is not likely the super rich like the Faust, but rather poetry readers. And Duffy is known for wanting to write poetry for the people, and seeing mainstream poet, or classical poetry as being too pretentious or inaccessible, as through her use of common words and simple phrasing and casual phrasing. And so Kruger also does use a very basic sort of format, being the advertisement and the billboard, being very low common denominator and appealing to a wide audience to get her message across. And her message for her viewers is that that the idea that money can buy you love and that compatibility is immature, childish, and part of a misguided path, a past trying to misguide the future.
Okay, thanks for that. So to follow up on some of your commentary, can I just direct your attention back to Kruger's work here? You know, you talked about the simplicity of it and sort of reworking or, you know, reappropriating advertising. Is there a danger that this might miss its mark with some members of the audience?
Yes, I very much agree to that. In fact, when I was analyzing this piece, I could see that there were two distinct interpretations someone could gain from this. One is that money can, in fact, that Kruger is arguing that money can buy you love. And those that say no, the detractors, are the fools, that, and you're meant to empathize with this girl who's teasing them for being such pretentious idiots. But and so I think that by making it so simple and vague and up to interpretation, it's very possible that a viewer could come away with a very different interpretation than from what I personally saw, which was the idea that this is a flawed and dangerous reason.
Is there anything about the composition of the whole piece that strikes you as important?
So it's the composition, again, well, it's simplistic, it's skewed, and she's in a white background, and this sort of starkness is created, this simplicity and this divide, and it's eye-catching, and the fact that the text is off-center sort of creates this sense of motion or instability rather than just having horizontal, solid text.
Okay, fantastic. And what about, you know, you mentioned before that this is typical of her style. Are there any particular works that you think this is particularly similar to?
This is particularly similar to a few other Barbara Kruger works. For instance, there is one. Most of her works are entitled, but there is one which is also entitled "Remote Control," which has two hands, and one is grabbing a small candy out of the hand of the other. And this is also a repurposed advertisement, and so it does have some similarities, as in it's showing that the product is controlling the consumer.
Okay, excellent, thanks. And so if we go back over to Duffy's poem then, you know, you mentioned early on that there's this kind of sense of dissatisfaction that's clearly communicated about the relationship or the loveless marriage that they seem to share. And you mentioned a number of quotations, "I gritted all the love star, not the life," "he went to whores," "I felt not jealousy with chronic irritation," "the colonic irrigation." Can you comment on how the elements of poetry here help reinforce the kind of message you're talking about?
Yes, so the elements of poetry used by Duffy are very important in enforcing this message, as throughout the when read as spoken poetry, it is quite humorous. In fact, even though the content seems to be quite dark and dry, it is in fact a dry humor, and then this is achieved through rhymes, and the rhymes also have a greater meaning too, because when "she grows to love the lifestyle, not the life, and he grows the kudos, love the kudos, not the wife," this tells us a lot, as he loves the praise given by his peers for all his achievements, and the life and wife are clearly associated with each other because of the rhyme, and to perhaps a normal or ideal person, these two in a relationship, these two things would be very tied together, but clearly in the Faust's case, it's not. And so, yeah, we can see more instances of, for instance, listing or rhyme is important again, as it sort of creates this humorous tone to rhyme chronic irritation with colonic irrigation, and sort of creates this casual, colloquial tone of the dramatic monologue of Faust divulging her views.
Okay, and what about Duffy's other poems? Do you think this is typical of other works, other texts in the collection, or?
I would argue that this is typical of Duffy, of a few types of Duffy. Although Mrs. Faust seems to be is long for a Duffy poem, there are other poems of comparable length in the book. In the collection, there are other poems that they don't all entail biblical figure or religious iconography, but this poem is one of a few that do. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say this is too far off for Duffy.
Okay. A final question. Do you think either one of these texts is more effective in communicating its message than the other, or more powerful?
So personally, I would say that it's interesting that you ask that, because I would have to say that Barbara Kruger's would be simply for its simplicity and how quickly the message comes to you. And that is simply just an advantage of the media, visual medium, that immediately the viewer knows. However, if I were to rate one, I would say that Mrs. Faust more deeply explores the ideas. However, I'd say that Kruger leaves an impact with more effective, more for less.
Okay. Thank you.